Well, this morning, we are going to talk about things revealed. And before we begin, I'd like to open in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, Lord, we give you thanks this day for your word that you have revealed in it a way of salvation, even your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for sin. Lord, we thank you for that gift. And we thank you that you have revealed him to us. We pray, Lord, for your blessing on your word this morning. Lord, I pray too for my voice, that it may persist and be able to carry on. Lord, we ask for strength and ask your blessing. Lord, lead and guide us this morning together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, as indicated, I'm having a few issues with my voice this morning, so I'm hoping I will hold out. You could turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, and I think we'll read as we go along for the sake of time, because we're well past 11 o'clock. As I said, we're going to consider things revealed. So what does revelation mean? The Greek word is apocalypsis, and you've heard of the apocalypse. It's speaking about revelation. What does it mean? It means to make something clear or obvious to the eye or mind, or to uncover that which is hidden. In this chapter, Peter makes five references to things revealed. Things that are revealed always in time, and they're revealed for your sake. And so we hope to look at that. First things first, I have five questions for you. A test. No, not really. But I do have five questions. And since I'm such a nice guy, I'll give you the answers as well. First question. Where do we look for revelation generally? Just information and insight. Well, people look all over the place, don't they? Might look at the internet. Some might look to the weather forecast. Newspapers, books, science maybe, philosophy, meditation. Some look to their friends. Some maybe the car mechanic. Movies. If you're really brave, you might look to politicians. Social media, some people study the stars and horoscopes. Lots of places to look. People look everywhere. But there's a problem. It's not always reliable, is it? It's not always true, not always useful. Truth is a problem. Second question. Why do we need revelation? Simple answer is we need information and insight to make daily and long-term choices and decisions and to plan for the future. Third question, how does God reveal things to people? The short answer is two ways. He reveals himself in creation. You can read about that in Romans 1, 19 and 20. People are without excuse because his attributes are visible in creation. Second way is through his word, the Bible. Fourth question. Why is God's revelation important? Well, again, it tells me about God and Jesus and about spiritual matters. We don't always get that from worldly sources. And again, it helps me navigate through life to make choices and decisions to plan for today, for the future, for death, and eternal life. Last question, number five. What does God reveal in the Bible that I need to know? Well, I'm not going to tell you. You'll have to read the book. Maybe I will. I'll give you a short summary here. The Bible tells us, and we know it in our hearts, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3, 23. And there's no one who does right, no, not even one. And every day we add to our guilt before God. And God condemns sinners to hell. Sorry, that's the bad news, isn't it? He will banish all sin and evil from his presence and from his world at some future date. And sinners too, I might add, sinners not covered, not redeemed by the blood. But the good news is, he has revealed to us all a remedy for our sin, believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. For God so loved the world, and you know the verse, for God so loved the world, and that includes you too, that he gave his only begotten Son, and that's the love gift of God, his only begotten Son, his one and only Son, that whosoever, that's anyone willing to be saved, whosoever believes in him should not perish, that's go to hell, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. So Jesus suffered and died in your place to pay the penalty you deserve because of your sin, so that you can have eternal life in heaven. In simple terms, that's the good news of God's revelation of his Son in the world. So, we're in Peter. Let's think a little bit about Peter. Peter the person. Peter had lots of revelation experiences. He was with the Savior for 3 years. He walked and talked with him. He was a disciple, a learner under the Savior. And he saw a lot of things that revealed who Jesus was, that he was the Son of God, that he was the Savior of sinners, that he was God in the flesh. And he died for sinners. Peter saw that, including Peter himself. He was a sinner too. And you've got to love Peter. He was always an open book. When you know Peter, you know that you always knew exactly where he stood. Peter was always front row center of everything that went on. He saw all the miracles, the signs, the teachings, all the works of the Lord Jesus. He was right there. And it all started one day when Peter sat down in his boat a little bit offshore and he taught the people that were on the shore. And after this was done, he said to Peter, "Let out the nets for a catch." And so Peter did. And he was astonished at the large catch of fish. And so he was astonished at this man that was sitting in his boat, this Lord Jesus before him. And he fell to his knees and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." That was a real revelation to Peter there. Sin cannot coexist with divine holiness, and he felt his sin. There are some other bright moments of revelation for Peter. Walking on water was one of them. We know a lot of them. At one point, Peter confirms, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Another time, Jesus reveals himself as the bread of life. And Jesus asked, "Well, what about you? Will you go too?" Because people were leaving him. And Peter stands up and he says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know you are the Holy One of God." What a revelation to Peter. Peter had his other candid moments too. "Even if all fall away, I will never..." he boasted. In the garden, Jesus asks, "Could you not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Later, he says to Peter, "Peter, put your sword away." Then shortly afterward, the rooster crows. Peter has denied his Lord 3 times, just as Jesus had predicted. And his own sinful heart is painfully revealed. Peter, always the leader, Peter rushing ahead. Peter, sometimes with foot in mouth. We have much to learn from this first chosen and much beloved disciple of our Lord. Then in John 21, our risen Lord takes Peter aside at the breakfast on the beach, and he gently restores the humble Peter. He instructs him, "Feed my sheep." He instructs him, "Glorify God in your death." And he instructs him, "Follow me. Follow me." That was the first instruction Peter had received when he first met Jesus. "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." "Follow me," Jesus says. In Acts 1, we do have a changed Peter. He is now a follower. He's a shepherd of the sheep. And he's bearing the testimony of the revealed Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. Peter mentions one more life-changing revelation of the Lord Jesus in his letter, 2 Peter 1, 17 and 18. After seeing Jesus in his glorified state and hearing the voice of God the Father on the Mount of Transfiguration, the three disciples were so overwhelmed that they kept this to themselves and they told no one. Some 30 years later, then in 2 Peter, Peter hasn't forgotten, and he mentions that in a special way. So now, coming to 1 Peter 1, Peter speaks no less than five times about things revealed. And so, going to 1 Peter 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Christ Jesus and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Ready to be revealed. There's the first one. Peter packs a lot in these verses. And to get to the ready to be revealed, we kind of have to go back to the beginning. So we'll just go through a summary. You can follow it along in your Bible. First of all, Peter testifies that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead assures our own new birth and new life. So we now have a living hope. New birth means we have a new inheritance coming, eternal life, the fullness of our salvation. And we read, it's kept in heaven, it's reserved, it's secured. If we believe and trust in Jesus, it has our name on it. We are the named beneficiary. And being kept in heaven, it cannot perish, spoil, or fade. It can't be stolen, it can't be taxed away, it's secure. And it's kept for you. Specifically, for you, it says. We have a personal claim on it. And by faith, by trusting and believing, we are shielded, it says. We are shielded by God's power as we walk through this life. Even if you look at verse 6, just look ahead, even through all kinds of trials, he will deliver us safely to that coming salvation and eternal life. Furthermore, we read, it's ready to be revealed at the last time. This coming final revelation of our salvation / inheritance is awaiting the right time. It won't come early, it won't come late, but it's coming for sure. And we see that this is the future tense of our salvation. Salvation is in three tenses, really. There's salvation past, when we committed and said, I believe the Lord. There's salvation ongoing in our life today, and then there's that future salvation. This is the future tense of our salvation here that indicates there's a lot more coming than what we have already received. If you are a believer, these verses are pretty exciting, aren't they? So we should ask people, have you received past tense salvation? Is your salvation a done deal, accomplished by the finished work of your Savior on the cross? Or if we are bold, I'm not so bold, we might go up to people and say, are you saved? Not a bad question. Some people need to think about that. So we should ask people. This is important because there is so much more to come and to be revealed in heaven for you if you trust in the Lord Jesus. And the right time to trust in the Savior is today. Verse 6 and 7. We'll just go on here. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. There's our second revelation, when Jesus Christ is revealed. In this world, our faith may be despised. It may bring us griefs and trials. But when Jesus is revealed, he will honor the one who trusts him in faith. Our faith will be proved genuine, it says, and will be rewarded with praise, glory, and honor. Not only Jesus. Jesus says, my Father will honor the one who serves me. Praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In this verse, we have the present tense of salvation. We are right now receiving salvation of our souls as we move towards holiness, sanctification, blessings even now as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, as Philippians 2 says. In this verse, our present salvation is marked by trials as we walk by faith, not by sight. Peter mentions three things that mark our salvation, the salvation we are receiving and living right now. Three things he marks out. He says, even though you do not see him, you love him. There's the first one. You love him. You believe in him. And you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. May that be a mark of our salvation today. What a testimony to the world. We can reveal the world in our lives. In verse 12, we'll start, I guess, in verse 10 here. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them, here's the next revelation, that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. We read it was revealed to the prophets. Many details about the person and the work and the circumstances of the life of the Lord Jesus are given. There are details cloaked in prophecy, but accurately foretold, and you probably know many of those prophecies fulfilled by our Lord Jesus. The prophets and angels too, it says, long to look into these things, to understand the time and the circumstances of these prophecies. The authenticity and truth of the Bible is powerfully demonstrated when accurate prophecy is precisely fulfilled, because no man can predict the future and no man can bring it about. Only God can. And this was written, we are told, for our great benefit, we on whom the fulfillment of these prophecies has come. Fact of the matter is, fulfilled prophecy is a magnificent testimony that Jesus is who he said he was. It's a great feast of Spirit-led gospel ministry in this. And it's a good source of authoritative New Testament preaching that's revealed to us in this. Even while the prophets, they were only given a small foretaste of this. Jesus on the road to Emmaus taught these things. It says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And keep in mind, that was the Old Testament scriptures. We have the New Testament scriptures in addition. So, things were revealed to the prophets, fulfilled in the life of Jesus, and they're now more fully revealed to us in our day through the preaching of the gospel. What a blessing to have the gospel and God's word. One thing we notice in all these things, God's revelation always happens at the right time. And that time, the time when God reveals things, that's the time when it is right to turn to him in faith. God has revealed the good news of Jesus. It is time to believe. Looking at verse 13 here. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. By grace, it says, we are living in the present tense of salvation. We are walking in the Spirit with self-control, it says there. Be self-controlled. And in the Spirit, we have deliverance from the power of sin. Be holy, because I am holy. That's our present tense of salvation. But our future tense is here. It says, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. At the revelation of Jesus Christ, there will be more abundant grace. grace that will totally deliver us from even the presence of sin. So there's our future salvation again, a much better salvation than we already have when Jesus Christ is revealed. Verse 17 here, since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear, for you do know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. And there we have number 5, Revelation. The Lamb, he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. So we see here the sacrificial lamb revealed in these last times for you, but chosen, foreordained, loved from before time, before the creation of the world. He was always in the background since the creation of the world, since before time began. He was always there in the shadows, as it were. But truly, he is the light of the world made manifest now in these last days. Just go to a few verses here to show this. One of Jesus' prayers just before his crucifixion in the upper room ministry, John 17, verse 24, he says, I want those you have given me to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Jesus was with God. He was God, and he was chosen and loved and selected for the task of being the Savior. That happened before anything else in creation. Now look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. The Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. The Lamb was always in view, wasn't he? He was always in God's view, but revealed now at his incarnation, death, resurrection, and ascension. And again today, he is revealed in New Testament preaching, insofar as that preaching is based on the authority of Scriptures. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. When the time had fully come, the time set by God, God always sends revelation to people at the right time. We read it here. It is in these last days, and it is for you, in verse 20. It is in these last days, it is for you. For you personally also, you know the time has fully come, and it is time to believe. When God reveals his Son to your heart and mind. Always in time. It says you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish or spot. Let's look at that Lamb in Genesis 22. Genesis 22. And you know the story. God has come to Abraham, and he asks Abraham to sacrifice his son, your only Son whom you love, God says. And as they go along, they're going to that mountain, and Isaac says, where is the lamb for the sacrifice? And Abraham replies, God himself will provide the lamb. So looking now at verse 10. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. The angel of the Lord. Who is he? Most people believe he is the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, the sent one from the Father, because angels are sent. He is not an angel, he is the angel. And he speaks for God. The angel of the Lord always speaks for God. An angel gives a message from God. And we notice that God had said, I want you to sacrifice your son, your only son. And the angel says, but you, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. This is God appearing to Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate. Verse 11, Abraham looked up, and behold, behind him, there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught with its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Did you notice those words? Abraham lifted up his eyes and behold, behind him. Hebrew means behind, followed, or following, or pursuing. There it was, the substitute lamb provided by God. And behold, it was behind him all the time, and he had never noticed. It was there in the background before the creation of the world, but now revealed at just the right time. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. On the mount of the Lord it will be provided. Or, it shall be seen. Another translation. It shall be seen. Or, it shall be beheld or manifested. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, chosen before the creation of the world. He's always been there, hasn't he? Even before we came to the Lord, he was there. Many years later, on that very mountain at Calvary, the sacrificial lamb was provided. It was manifested. The substitute in your place, just as the ram substituted for Isaac. The angel of the Lord was revealed there again, only this time in the flesh, in human flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you and me. The Lamb without blemish or spot, chosen before the creation of the world, but revealed in these last days for you. And behold, it was always right there behind me, even when I didn't see it yet. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, verse 8. Before you knew the Lord, you were living in the darkness of sin. You didn't know it. You didn't see it. But the Lamb of God was always there behind you, waiting to be revealed at just the right time. Then, when God opened your eyes and revealed the light of the light of the world, praise the Lord, Jesus died for me. Or perhaps for you, Jesus is still in the background, maybe just behind you somewhere, but you never noticed, or maybe you refused to look. No, the Lamb has always been there since before creation, when man sinned in the garden and Satan was busy sowing seeds of discord. The Lamb was there. God said so. God mentioned it. God's promised seed of the woman. It was only one seed. Only one. Hardly noticed. But oh, the quality of that one seed. That would be revealed at the right time. That would be revealed at the right time to defeat the evil one. God's provision, it preceded even creation, even the fall. To Abraham and Isaac, the Lamb was behind them all along, but was revealed at just the right time. The Savior is revealed, and he goes willingly to the cross to fulfill salvation for mankind at the right time. His hour had come. When God reveals his Son to you at the right time and for your sake, it is the right time to believe. It's the right time to receive salvation. If you haven't already done so, the right and the best time is right now. It's the right time to say, "Yes, Lord, I believe you died for me. Save me now from my life of sin." Shall we close in prayer? Our God and Father, Lord, we come before you this morning and we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you that you have revealed him at just the right time. Lord, for those of us who believe, you have come and given us salvation, and we thank you for that. And Lord, for those who don't know the blessings of salvation, Lord, reveal your word today to many. We thank you, Lord, that you are revealing your word around this world, and ask for your blessing on the preaching of your word this day. We give you thanks, Lord, that you are gracious and good and have provided a lamb for us. And we give you thanks and praise this morning. Amen.